For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Well, we're going to Circa in Vegas.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
You've never seen a Fast and Furious movie.
You know what I'm talking about.
Have you seen
the trailers?
No. You gotta watch one.
No.
I wanna hear about this, homie.
I said forget about it, cuz.
The first one's an action.
I'm getting right home, I'm packing, I'm leaving.
The first one is good. I think you should watch one of them on the plane. Whichever one is available, I think you should watch it.
Watching a Fast and the Furious movie.
It's a perfect plane movie, especially for that flight.
You can't leave. You've gotta watch the whole thing.
Oh, I gotta work. We're doing the podcast tomorrow, and I haven't done my stuff yet.
This is on the same flight with Dan. Is he right, Ray?
Yes, Ray is.
You gotta make sure that he watches it.
All right, Dan, I'm going to distract you from all your busy work.
When I flew with you to Vegas last time, This is what I'm going to say to Ray. Like, you were the one instigating. I was perfectly fine to chill at the gate, and Dan's like, oh, let's go get some drinks. And I already had a couple, so all right, whatever. And then on the plane, you're going to have to get more drinks. Okay.
Go get it, baby.
You're the one that opened the bottle of Jack in the limo, too.
Oh, hell yeah.
I got work to do.
We're watching Fast and Furious, Dan. It's happening.
I don't have friends. I got family.
Coming to you live from Galaxy Ballroom at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. It's Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, and Layla Rahimi on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let the record show that I'm proud to have avoided watching a Fast and Furious movie. I mean, I saw him trying, but that wasn't going to happen. But we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, which happen to be here in the Galaxy Ballroom at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, as their version of their Radio Row is getting everyone ready for Circa Million and Circa Survivor. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi, Diaz, Studzinski, Fryer, O'Donnell, Lapka, Mitch Rosen is here, and we have the great Ray Regal as our engineer. Everybody
Bagel
all right?
Has a gallon big gulp.
That's Jerry. It's got a name.
It has a name, and I didn't know.
It's more than a gallon.
Can I show this to our Twitch listeners? It is more than a gallon. Yeah,
that's Jerry.
And it says Big Jerry right here.
It's 128 ounces.
This is bigger than my head.
$1.07 to refill at 7-Eleven.
$1.07?
They charge you the extra 7?
That's what taxes.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like a dollar.
Hi, Jerry. Hi,
okay,
Ray.
Yeah, now you've met Jerry.
And hydrate.
Oh, ho.
No, that actually should happen.
What, actual hydrating?
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably pretty good.
That's what I spent the morning doing.
You went outside?
No, hydrating.
Okay, but you're planning on going outside?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Stadium Swim.
Okay, it's like 100 degrees.
Yeah, I'm built for this.
All right.
This is my time. I'm the captain now.
Well, we are going to bring you all kinds of football talk. The Bears play a simulacrum of a football game tonight. There will be people in Bears uniforms who have another few hours to be Chicago Bears before they get on with their lives. And we'll discuss, because there's some roster decisions to be made. Derek Stevens, Paul Charchin, Sean King, High Noon. We've got it all for you here.
I'm looking forward to tonight for sure. But Layla and I on the ride in, because we took the same flight, Dan and Ray took the same flight. We were talking football because, you know, we talk football. And you brought up a really interesting point about kind of where things stand with the Bears roster.
Yeah, to me, is your team as good as you think it is if you still need the waiver wire to add perhaps to your defensive line? Like, the team is not on the field. I'm glad that you're admitting it in a way. But is your team as good as you think it is, if that is the case, and the waiver wire is still something that you need to look at?
If you're adding a rotational, at the least, a rotational pass rusher, and probably
pivotal
somebody...
pivotal position.
And probably somebody by the end of the season who will have been a starter, because that happens with attrition.
Right. And
that person's not on your team yet.
And we know that perhaps the ideal three technique is not on this team, as we've discussed. That is a wait and see. But to me, that says a lot about where they are and what we think they are. And I want to have all the good vibes and the lovely feelings. And this is a game that's really about seeing who's going to make that roster tonight in the preseason finale. But at the end of the day, before the season opener, if that's still something that is not only discussed but strategically applied, then you have to at least ask the question. Like the Lions, for example, are saying, you know, Pro Football Talk had the story yesterday. Like, people are not going to make the roster, and they're going to have to make some really tough decisions. And that's the difference now. You're talking about good to great. We get to have that discussion, which is great, but does it temper our expectation?
And let's go back to what the Bears have said about their roster. What they said was it's going to be really hard to make this team.
How much do you believe it?
Well, I think that they've made incredible progress. I really do. I think this roster is solid. But considering we can talk to Matt Eberflus about this tomorrow, but I feel like from a defensive standpoint, he still doesn't quite have what he needs. He's making the most out of it, and he's done a good job with it, and we know how strong the Bears' defensive backfield is. But how much stronger would it be if you gave them a representative front line? And to Ryan Poles' credit, he's been trying to do that. Like them trying to make the move for Judon, it says two things to me. One, their roster is incomplete. And two, they understand the value and if we use the Raheemy doctrine, look at the contracts, look at where you're at in your window. If you're trying to maximize Montez Sweat, give him a partner, whether that partner is on the inside at the three technique or on the other end, give him a partner so you can do maximum damage.
The very first move, or one of the very first moves he made, was to sign Larry Ogunjobi, who was a Matt Eberflus prototype three technique.
Yep.
And ever since then, ever since that failed effort to bring in an established professional three technique, they've just kind of streamed the position along. And I know they had super defensive, no pun intended, when Justin Jones was questioned. I think it was actually Alan Williams before they had to fire him for being weird. That he said, oh, we have a three technique, and his name is Justin Jones. Okay, fine, great, awesome. But we know that there's a difference between the defense being fine. And like as you've said before many times, if this is an elite backfield, then make their job even easier. Make them even better. So maybe they just are way more confident in some of these guys than we know that they are, or that they're letting on that they are. But their moves tell us they're not.
Well, the other thing to me is we're not just talking about the expectation of a team. I've said it. I'll say it again. I think it's a 10-win team. I think they make the playoffs probably. I think the whole division has leveled up. I'll say it. Okay, if I'm wrong, I'm not going to be happy about it either, but we'll have a lot of other issues if that's the case. But people are talking about this being a top 5, top 10 defense.
Yeah,
those words have been uttered by many people.
I said it. I said they're a top 5 defense.
So if that's the case, you still think you're doing this at this point in the season? I'm not mad at them for doing it. Good that you're doing it. But does that reset what you're thinking?
Conditionally, I keep getting this impression, and maybe it's sinking in because we're in Vegas, and we feel it all the time, and we always talk about it. Hell, you hear it in the airport, you feel it everywhere, but the level of optimism for this Bears team. This city, places like this, are trying to separate Bears fans from their money.
For sure.
And are trying to game that level of excitement and that level of optimism. Because Chicago betters, as I understand it, I don't know as much as others do. Look, there's probably 20 people in this room, obviously, that know far more than I. But Chicago fans are suckers. And I wonder, with given the slightest real reason for optimism, if we shouldn't be conscious of that, especially being where we are and being as aware of
the house always winning.
Of the house always winning and the house understanding. The people that set the lines, the people that try to lure you in are taking advantage of one of the most easily, irrationally exuberant fan bases that we know of.
I won't call our listeners suckers. I'll say they are optimistic. And when you look at how people bet at the beginning of the baseball season on the Cubs every year, how much the handle is on Bears fans every year when the number comes out on win totals and how they go over because they're optimistic, you do have to control for some of that when you're discussing how this team is going to go about building itself. And, you know, some history is prologue. Some of it's not. The hope is that the Bears are changing everything, like the way that they go about stuff, and then that turns into success for them where they haven't had it before. But yes, it and this goes to what we were talking about with you, Dan, earlier this week. It's a weird place to be in where you go, wow, everyone seems to be very optimistic about what the Bears can do this year, and does that hit that reflex of that's very scary.
Well, it was scary for me because I went through what happened in that first game against the Packers when Khalil Mack has a career in the first half and everything is great in our world and it's seashells and balloons and we're doing cartwheels and handsprings and then nothing good happens.
To me, Chicago is a market mover, period. There's an emotional buy there that you're talking about. And the Bulls, we saw that too with the Bulls in 2021 when they were close to having better odds for first place in the Eastern Conference. Wow, what a stretch that sounds like when you say it a couple years later. But that to me is fine. Like, have your emotional buy. You know, if you know how the market moves here when it comes to wagering, then you'll be at an advantage as far as knowing how to hedge it. But people have been excited to talk about the Bears for a long time. And we're seeing that finally happen now. So to me, do you need more out-of-town stupid in a way by tempering the expectation? Or do you need a little more in-town optimism by trying to make something happen in a productive manner?
I think that you can always use a little bit of it. The problem is, and I mean, you know, we're aware of it. Like, I know that sometimes when this particular show tries to temper stuff that we get labeled.
Why
with.
Do you hate the Bears?
Right.
What's wrong with you? Why do you hate them?
Just have faith in everything.
Yeah, and that's part of the issue, you know. And I know that we're speaking from a very personal place when trying to discuss it as logically, but with a little bit of fun.
Like, I want them to be as good as anybody does. I do. I really keep saying it. I really hope Caleb Williams is good, and I hope the Bears are good. I don't know if they are, and because it's the NFL.
I think it's important to give this PSA routinely. People in our position would prefer that the teams that we talk about be good.
Amen.
We prefer that, and the reason that we prefer that is that there's more of you when the teams are good. That harping on things that are bad, wanting things to be bad because it gets clicks, that only works so far. And the example that I would give you, and it's an extreme one, is the 2024 Chicago White Sox.
Yep.
No one wants to talk about the White Sox because we know that if we start talking about the White Sox instead of talking about the Bears, you're going to go away. And you might never come back.
And our numbers showed previously that when we talked about the White Sox when they were good, that people wanted to listen.
Yes. So we want the teams to be good, but we also want to try and give you from our experiences of covering teams on What are some things that don't feel right or smell right? And that's why, like, the counterbalance to us even talking about Hard Knocks, because that is them giving the best version of what's going on at Hallis
Hall. Let alone critiquing it as a television show. What do you mean? It's a bad show. It's the Bears.
Well, yeah, what do we know about doing
boring.
That, right? Nothing.
Right.
Yeah, but we don't know anything about it. In case you're wondering why we're here, by the way, we're here for the return, if you're joining us, for the Circa Million 6 and Circa Survivor, which won Danny Parkins, who finally announced that he is indeed going to Outdoor Life Network. today.
It's Versus.
No, Spike TV. We're very happy for Danny going to Spike TV.
No, it's Outdoor Life Network, and he's got a trout fishing show, I believe.
He's going to be great at the National Network, but the point is,
Danny is going to be awesome on Impractical Jokers.
That's still a show.
He's going to be so awesome on that. True TV made a great hire when they hired Danny Parkins.
You know, when I'm watching March Madness, I want to know what's coming on after my 11-5 game. Okay, but he did also make it far in the Survivor pool, right? Like, didn't he nearly win?
He did really well.
Yeah, as a consortium. And we'll talk to Derek about this, but the way
at 11, Derek Stevens joins us.
The way people game that thing.
Because Danny's got guys. Like, and
he's also a guy you can call.
I agree, but he's even got guys.
Right. It's
when I'm looking for somebody on the DIY network, that's our man.
I'm really looking forward to his show on HGTV. The fact that he is moving so that he is going to be out here renovating homes.
Love it or list it. Which,
I mean, I can't believe that they got him and Snoop to Danny and Snoop on HGTV every morning. Like, they're going out and they're renovating houses. So
we got this lot. Don't know if it's going to make sense for the buyer.
I don't think some of the piping is to code. We're going to have to redo it.
Zero lot line. Have the landscape.
Let's see if we can.
That's a load. You can't move the load bearing wall.
They want 2.5% now.
Contractors got over budget.
Seller's agent's a jerk.
Everybody wants to know via text, guys. You guys are burying the lead. How many sports animals are there?
Well, we've come across a sports amphibian. I'm pretty sure there was some sort of sports reptile over here.
No, it's too early.
It's way too early.
Bronco Nation News.
I'm just happy that we got to see our friend Cody Decker.
Yeah, Cody Decker's just out here hanging out in the. Well, it's a hallway. It's not a street.
Well, we're in a ballroom.
It's Radio Row. This is the Radio Row setup.
It's Radio Row. And so, like, right across from us is ESPN Las Vegas.
There's a sports chameleon.
There's a Bronco Nation Let's Ride network over there.
Bronco Nation News. Like, they're leaning into the news
Bronco
portion
Nation
of that.
News.
Yeah, BNN. Have you heard?
Dick Parkins.
Okay, well, what is that? What does that even mean?
Let's Ride. That's what it means.
Bronco
well, not anymore.
News.
Do we ask him about Zach Wilson? How does this work?
Or do they actually report all of the news, but only as it relates to the Broncos?
I mean, it's just like when Hub had Pro Football Weekly.
It was a large explosion.
On the airs.
Ray, you don't remember that? Yeah. Pro Football Weekly also used to be Basketball News.
Say yes to the dress. It's our favorite texter. It's our favorite texter.
I just like the idea that Bronco Nation News would be something like Ukrainian forces were able to enter the occupied Kursk territories. No Denver Broncos were affected. In other news, new Chinese tariffs have been enacted. No Broncos were immediately affected. This has been Bronco News. Okay, whatever. People want to know, why aren't you at the pool?
It's only tomorrow. News about Bronco tomorrow Nagurski.
Tomorrow is the pool.
Right, Bronco Nagurski is still dead. And now the weather.
Wait.
What about the Barrington Broncos? Are they involved in this?
Could be. It's all the Bronco news.
That's fit to that seems about like Broncos. A really big nation of Broncos.
I guess.
Wild, wild horses.
Who is the coach either. Whose name was Bronco?
A coach?
Bronco Mendenhall.
Thank you.
Who's
no.
that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. For who?
BYU, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, he wasn't a coach, though, Bronco Nagurski. I don't think. Maybe he coached something. I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. It's a Vegas show, guys. What can you do?
All right, when we come back.
Vegas show.
Vegas show. Vegas show.
Yeah, Bronco Mendenhall. There you
Bronco
go.
Mendenhall.
Right. Let's discuss Matt Eberflus watching film and how it relates to choreography and teaching dance.
And if you've been watching Hard Knocks, I think it all goes together in a way that's going to make you at least appreciate the show a little bit more, too. On the Score from Vegas.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Okay, spin around here. I just want to show you a couple plays. You can just spin that chair around. Solar eclipses.
That was Matt Eberflus on Hard Knocks talking to Caleb Williams. And you can tell that he is a coach who is in his element when he is doing granular coaching and teaching.
Yes.
You can tell that he gets excited. We're going to talk to him tomorrow. Is it 11:25, Ray? 12. Okay. 25. Thank you. 12:25. We are scheduled to talk to Bears head coach Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, get the times right, Schlereth.
And Ray and I were discussing it on the plane, and there's a lot of angles you can take. I think the best way to get him to really be himself is to just talk ball, because he has a way that he wants his guys to tackle people, and it comes down to where you're
plant, point, and drive. Plant, point, and drive.
I also have that same mantra.
Plant, point, and drive.
He said the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, and where your toes are pointed all the time is going to define how quickly you get to where you're going.
I mean, I think that he's right. Like there, if you think about it in terms of running, for example, of, you know, you go where your head goes. Like this is kind of similar to that, where make sure that you are pointed at your target. And you go and get your target. I kept reading, first of all, our guy Fishy Business, Kevin Fishbane, if you haven't read that piece on The Athletic, you should. It's really good. Like, you're going to go into Matt Eberflus's office and his mind. Like, how he goes about, like, teaching technique. And I think that it's really excellent stuff. As I was reading it, and I meant to say something to you yesterday when we were in the limo, that Circa provided for us, by the way. Shout out to Circa.
Yeah, we're not buying that for ourselves.
I meant to say, man, you know what? Layla's an actual dancer. And I kept thinking, like, the more I kept reading, I was like, man, this sounds like dance instructions. All the footwork stuff that Matt Eberflus is talking about, like the importance of how your foot is pointed, where your foot is pointed. So I was like, what does Layla think about this piece?
Well, football is choreography. A lot of choreography is making sure you're maintaining formation or you know where to go on your respective surface, right? So it doesn't surprise me when they do touchdown celebrations all the time because they've been working on choreography all day. That's what formations are. That's what their routes are, essentially. You know, offensively and defensively, you see the finer points. Eberflus is teaching something that I think also has a latent benefit here. Is he minimizing injury risk by doing these things? You know, that's another thing is when you're teaching your muscles how to move properly, like your foot should move forward, theoretically. Like that should be, you should be aligned in a way where your knees aren't collapsing inward to, you know, reduce the stress on your joints, that type of thing. I loved the attention to detail because we actually saw it happen last season. He said early in the season, we all saw the tackles were poor. He said point of attack tackling is something we need to get better at. They almost instantly did. It took, what, a week or two? And then what did we see in the last preseason game? I thought it was excellent wrap-up tackling at the point of contact.
Without practicing it.
Right. And hey, we joke about having tactics, but if we didn't see him apply right there, I don't know what that was.
Well, he teaches hamstring tackling. He's very specifically to grab around the hamstring, drive through, and turn. And it matters which direction you turn. That what I found interesting for the piece was Eberflus understanding leverage, where you're always aware of where the line of scrimmage is, and he wants his tackles, everybody, to be angled in a certain way. And he explained it by talking about how once the ball carrier is stopped in that direction, it becomes easy. Like, you're not, there's going to, people aren't going to be falling for extra yards.
Right.
That the over time, the yards that add up by bad fundamental tackling and or his guys not swarming and finishing, that he just wants to make sure once it's, what did Lovey say? Secure the tackle.
First man secure the tackle. Second man go for the strip.
Right, but and that I don't know that,
yeah,
I've heard.
Yeah, that's
it.
That's fundamentally sound.
I haven't heard that exactly from Eberflus. I don't know that he is as strip the ball. Well, his mantra isn't the same as Lovey in
no,
that regard.
No, it's not, because you know what he's asking DBs to do, and I like it, and the DBs seem to like it. Is he's giving them teaching points to take bigger players down.
It also...
Where the Bears guys under Lovey, they were like, well, get there, hold that guy up, and here comes Charles Tillman, here comes Brian Urlacher, here comes Lance Briggs to try and take that ball out while they've got you held up.
And really, all of this, to me, is what makes the difference. We talk so much about timing and buying yourself time offensively. Having that more efficient movement will get you to the ball quicker. One of the finer points I thought in this article that was really good talked about how in the air movement will buy you a third of the play of the ball in the a
yeah,
third of the
that,
distance of the ball in the
that.
Air. Like, so he's saying, for example, in a 10 yard attempt where you're throwing to somebody 10 yards in front of you, the defender should be able to cover 3.3 yards in that amount of time. And just having those simple equations gives you a basis for what you need to do. It also speaks to the play we talked about yesterday, where we all said, watching Hard Knocks, oh, by the way, this reminds me of when Eberflus said they should have gotten a fourth interception in the fourth quarter against Cleveland and Joe Flacco. That is also illustrated in Fishbane's article.
Here's the quote that kind of grabbed me when he said, we want to do a great job of grabbing the hamstrings or below and then pull them in, and then we run for three hard steps. It's a low tackle. It's a safe tackle. The DBs love it. They can tackle big guys that way. And he describes Kyler Gordon. And he says, where his helmet position is, he says it's not in front of the runner. He's a little bit high here. He has to go lower. But we always tell him to roll back to the line of scrimmage. Mm. You grab around the hamstrings. Now, you're going to roll back to the line of scrimmage. That puts the guy down right where he sits. And then he says, what's the objective of this tackle? To eliminate hidden yards. Because we know on first down, if he misses that tackle, it's not a minus six. So he really looks up. His, what he allowed us in on here was the importance of first down.
Of course.
And the importance of him saying that generally the number, and he uses analytics to say that negative plays on first down almost invariably ruin drives.
Yeah. To me, it's akin to what happens when you walk the first batter of an inning.
Now, what is interesting about that is this is one of those things where I do wonder if him, it's not him giving away the store, but it is giving away a tendency. And the tendency makes sense from a statistical standpoint, but does that mean that an offensive team should expect that the Bears are going to be a blitzing team on first down?
He just talking about being responsible.
I know, but I'm saying that when you're talking about being in, if first down becomes important to you because you're trying to cause three and outs, might that mean that you are going to speed up the offense of the team by trying to put them in a bad position? And, I mean, I would have to go back and look and see how many times they blitzed on first down and what the percentage was in the league, but it was the first thing I thought of when I read that quote. Like, hey, are you giving away a tendency here?
Well, that's why I always am troubled by the go get it, go get it, go get it, go get it, and the propensity for being exposed as an over-pursuit team and having stuff hit backside and having stuff beyond your linebackers, having them bite too easily and not trusting their eyes. There's so much discipline involved in the level of aggressiveness that he wants to play, even without blitzing, because we've seen it when a one-gap defense breaks down. And it propagates, and it starts to be like,
it's a house of cards.
I was helping it. It can be a very fragile defense.
I got out of my gap because he was out of his gap.
I mean,
he was out of his gap because he was out of his gap.
Or my landmark wasn't deep enough.
You see that all the time with this team whenever they get beat underneath. Like, that was always the antidote, right, was to just throw underneath, and then you're finding the soft spot almost immediately in the defense. I don't mind this because he's got the athletes to pull it off. I think inherently it would be against his sensibilities to blitz on every first down. Yeah. He's just saying, like, the importance of first down is what's leading to a more predictable outcome, and I think that's why, he was able to correctly or at least predict, oh, we should have gotten the interception here. But again, I love it, but the flip side of this is that are you not zooming out enough? Like, grow where you're planted. This is clearly what got you to this point in your career. But are we going to be sitting here a few games from now asking, is he too much in the weeds on the defensive finer points when you also have a similar person now teaching in Coach Washington on the defensive side? And the offense of this team is going to have to be managed even more with your precious rookie quarterback.
Well, I really like all of it because it allows us to see him in a much different light. Mm-hmm. We are seeing the thing that probably endears him to players is like his style of teaching. And this is what I mean by, like, and you've made the point, Layla, about the glow up and the importance and how important it was for Matt Eberflus to start being better and more connected with the people that cover this team. This is such an intimate look at him and the way that he thinks. I don't know if anyone would have thought Matt Eberflus is very analytical. And in this piece, you get to see how analytical he is.
Here's Eberflus talking about Montez Sweat.
Oh, yeah.
As great as he is, this is Eberflus saying, he says, if you watch his right arm, he's chopping that down. The left hand comes down, watch the chop, then rip. He says, what happens when he chops? What does he do to the tackle there? He gets him off balance. You can see him lunging forward. Now he's done. He said, now Sweat's straight line is to the quarterback. And he said, because he's fast, he can hawk them down pretty fast. But Eberflus says, I want him to chop down through the wrist, pointing to the football as Sweat literally does a chopping motion. He says, see it? That makes a difference. I know he's trying to do it with his left hand, but he should always do it with the ball side hand.
Yep.
Now, that reminds me of Lovey.
Yeah. I mean, if those are the – that's why – I think coaches sometimes do themselves a disservice by staying so vanilla. That's a very digestible explanation of what you want a player to do. Anyone who is a football fan that's like, man, I really want to know more about football, think about what you learned in those three sentences from Matt Eberflus. More coaches need to do stuff like this, and I'm happy whoever it is, whether it was his wife, whether it was consulting, whether it was Ted Cruz, whoever it is that has said, let's go and put you out here.
But that's why I wanted it on Hard Knocks. That's what I wanted on Hard Knocks. Was it the Falcons one when Brian Cox was helping with pass rushers and linebackers, and he was talking about, your shoulder is here. This is a time where you have to go with one arm because you need length. Now you're going to turn that length into power when this shoulder comes around. And it sounds so sensible, and you're watching NFL players digest it. I would love to. I'm glad Fishbane got this, but this is what Hard Knocks is for.
But you know what? He's built trust with us. Like, we in the third biggest media market in the country have built trust with this team more so than they have, unfortunately for them. But good for us, because that was a great article. We've wanted to talk about it for a long time. And it picks up on things that we've seen in pieces in other places. And good on Matt Eberflus, man. We love this stuff.
We are in the Galaxy Ballroom at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, getting everyone ready for Circa Million 6 and the $10 million guaranteed Circa Survivor. Derek Stevens is going to talk to us in just a little bit about all of that if you are interested. But tonight, there's going to be some roster decisions closer to being made. I think most of the roster is pretty set. but there are going to be some people you know who are going to be out of jobs with the Bears relatively soon. So let's talk about how those decisions might get made based in part on what we see tonight. This is the Bernstein and Holmes Show. Layla Rahimi is here as well on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
This is big. When Coach, my OC, he came and talked to me, and I looked at it as a great opportunity. Really familiar with it, and I know my God-given talent and abilities, and this is something I can be really good at and be there for me when they need me. And every game is a big game. And so that just shows, like, they're trying to find any way just to get the ball in my hands and utilize my talent. So that's a great feeling. That's something that I take pride in and make sure I'm doing my all, giving my all for my teammates and being a better version of myself on the field.
That's Velus Jones. And the question remains, who's playing tonight and who's not playing? It's going to tell us a lot. I think the people who are held out would appear to be safe. And those who from whom they need to see more may not be.
I also think some starters should play, even though they're not going to. There are definitely a couple of guys who you need to see more of.
I was thinking about this.
Comes back, Nate Davis, those guys.
I was thinking about this when you said it and yesterday. And I was thinking, you know, with Brisker, do you want – I don't necessarily need him to play. But if I had – if I did want him to play, the reason I'd want him to play would be so that he gets reps with Byard. But if Byard's not going to play, then to me it doesn't make sense for Brisker to play. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you worry at all about just game shape and game rep and game speed?
Yes, but I feel like he's – I feel Brisker is a bit of a comet.
True.
Like, we're going to be like, man, that guy was really great for 5 years, and then his body is just going to
– You made the Bob Sanders comp.
Would yep. you call him a sports comet? And if so, are they broadcasting here?
The sports comet.
From Radio Row at Circa.
And Bronco Nation News. They have very bright lights over there.
They do, and that's yeah, good. That makes you look good.
Yeah, the lighting. No,
I look better in the dark.
The overhead lighting for us is not favorable in our picture.
It's not?
No.
Because the lights are up there, but that's all right.
Let's get. I do think there's a reason to watch this preseason game if. Especially if you're us, there are a couple of position group battles where you're asking yourself the question, who's going to make this team? And we had a pretty interesting conversation off air before the show about the really minute details here when you're talking about what's going to happen to Karan Amagaji, for example. Not playing today, but how does that affect your roster? You know, was it an IR discussion for 4 weeks or 6 weeks? You know, could that affect... Could that affect a future spot? How many receivers are they carrying? To me, that might be the most contested. How many tight ends are they going to carry?
Well, they moved Velus Jones out of the wide receiver room, and they put him in the running back room. But
there's a lot of people there.
You have a really strong running back room where, obviously, DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert. Then Roschon Johnson, America's president, he's in there. And then you have Horner in there, who is a core special teams player. So here's what I'm wondering, and you guys can tell me if this is off the mark. Are we talking about now Velus Jones versus Kari Blasingame? Do the Bears keep an extra traditional tailback or a non-traditional tailback, or do they keep a traditional fullback on their roster?
It makes it a little less personal and a lot more transactional based on the direction of the team as a whole, when you put it that way.
The Our Lads depth chart, which I tend to use just because I find it
very clean.
Yeah, it's easy to look at, and there's a lot of information there. They still have Velus Jones Jr. listed as the backup slot wide receiver. They do not have him among the running backs. And they've got, you know, Swift, Herbie the Love Bug, Roschon Johnson, Travis Homer, and Ian Wheeler, with Blasingame the lone fullback.
Well, and Wheeler is another thing, because you know what Wheeler has? Speed.
Mm-hmm.
Put your track shoes on, sir. And if If you were to cut Velus Jones, I imagine that there would be some people who would be interested because he's a really good kick returner. But he also can't catch punts or passes.
Well, also, how much is ego going to come into play here? Because he was the first offensive pick of this front office. How much is that going to affect the decision? I really hope it doesn't. But if he stays on the team, you might have an inkling as to why.
When you bring up Amagaje, do you know who I forgot was on the team? You know who I completely forgot? Larry Borum.
Yeah. He's been playing.
I know. But it's like, oh, yeah. He was starting.
Like, yeah, him and Carter. Like, hey, the game that I said Carter could have qualified for the Mistrelli Award, even though he couldn't have, he really could have by his play.
Borum is a perfect – this guy's been in the league 8 years, candidate. Perfect.
It's not that. Eight.
I'm saying
– Oh, you're saying that, okay, yes.
Like, wait, Larry Borum's still playing? He's the swing tackle in Washington now? Like
That was like Mike Gandy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Ever him?
I had a moment last night watching the White Sox where I was like, wait, how old is Logan Webb? What do you mean he's only 27 years old?
That is a fair point because he looks 35.
I feel like I've been watching Logan Webb for 15 years, and I think it's only been six.
Well, that's how I feel about Mike Trout is I feel like I've been watching him for 20 years because he's been in the league since he was a child.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think Larry Borum is like that. So I just wonder, like, tonight, are we watching Velus' last stand? And if it's him or Blossengame, which one do you want? And to me, it's easy.
Well, I don't.
What's your answer?
I want Blossengame.
Me too.
I don't know if I do or not. I don't know the playbook.
No, listen.
And I don't know if Waldron wants it. He's not going to use one just because he's got one.
No, I don't know. He seemed to use him pretty effectively in the second game of the preseason. They use this idea called downfield blocking. So then when somebody was running, then Blossengame was running ahead of him.
No, I
like a fullback trying to protect the person running behind him.
But if the choice is
they're running up and down the field.
Yes, but sometimes instead of him, you have a guy who's way faster who's running past people.
Or bigger.
Or I look at it at that point where you're talking about I think that the upside of Velus is overstated at this point because he is, 27 years old. I know exactly what Kari Blossengame is, and I know what he's going to give me.
Three yards.
With Velus,
you're a third of the way to first down, my friend.
It's like what Ryan Poles was saying about the guardrails and stuff. Sure, you might get burned, but by Velus has a kickoff return for a touchdown at some point with some other team. But I know every week how responsible a player that Blossengame is.
That's Lawrence Holmes and Layla Rahimi. I'm Dan Bernstein. We're broadcasting live from Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas today and tomorrow. We're part of Radio Row, over 30 of your favorite radio stations, podcasts, videocasts, talking about Circa Survivor, Circa Million, and the upcoming football season. Any entrant into the contest can take part in parties across the Circa properties, as we will, including Stadium Swim, Bar Canada, and more. Don't miss the Circa Preview Panel, August 24th, where some of the top experts in the football world will preview the upcoming season and give you some of their best bets. Check out CircaLasVegas.com for more info.
And apparently a player from one of Lawrence and mine's favorite football team on the panel.
Willis McGahee.
Yeah.
Ah.
The greatest college football team of all time.
One Miami. And some college football news there, Dan, for you.
NBC sacks Jack Collinsworth in favor of Dan Hicks on Notre Dame football.
Because
he wasn't very good. Yeah.
Because he's bad.
It's really good at that. Some irony in that, using that drop there. Wow.
Yeah, it is.
Cute. Well done. Derek Stevens is going to join us next to tell us all about the wonderful things about his casino and his contests.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Well, we're going to Circa in Vegas.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
You've never seen a Fast and Furious movie.
You know what I'm talking about,
though. Have you, though?
I've seen the trailers.
No. You gotta watch one.
No.
I wanna hear about this, homie.
So forget about it, cuz.
The first one's an action.
I'm getting right home, I'm packing, I'm leaving.
The first one is good. I think you should watch one of them on the plane. Whichever one is available, I think you should watch it.
Watching a Fast and the Furious movie.
It's a perfect plane movie, especially for that flight.
You can't leave. You've gotta watch the whole thing.
Oh, I gotta work. We're doing the podcast tomorrow and I haven't done my stuff yet.
This is on the same flight with Dan. Is he Ray?
Yes, Ray is.
You gotta make sure that he watches it.
All right, Dan, I'm going to distract you from all your busy work.
When I flew with you to Vegas last time,
This
is what I'm going to say to Ray. Like, you were the one instigating. I was perfectly fine to chill at the gate, and Dan's like, oh, let's go get some drinks. And I already had a couple, so all right, whatever. And then on the plane, you're going to have to get more drinks. Okay.
Go get it, baby.
You're the one that opened the bottle of Jack in the limo, too.
Oh, hell yeah.
I got work to do.
We're watching Fast and Furious, Dan. It's happening.
I don't have friends. I got family.
Coming to you live from Galaxy Ballroom at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. It's Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, and Layla Raheem on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let the record show that I'm proud to have avoided watching a Fast and Furious movie. I mean, I saw him trying, but that wasn't going to happen. But we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, which happen to be here in the Galaxy Ballroom at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, as their version of their Radio Row is getting everyone ready for Circa Million and Circa Survivor. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi, Diaz, Studzinski, Fryer, O'Donnell, Lapka, Mitch Rosen is here, and we have the great Ray Regal as our engineer. Everybody
Bagel
all right?
Has a gallon big gulp.
That's Jerry. It's got a name.
It has a name, and I didn't know.
It's more than a gallon.
Can I show this to our Twitch listeners? It is more than a
That's Jerry.
And it says Big Jerry right here.
It's 128 ounces.
This is bigger than my head.
$1.07 to refill at 7-Eleven.
$1.07?
They charge you the extra 7?
That's with taxes.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like a dollar.
Hi, Jerry. Hi,
okay,
Ray.
Yeah, now you've met Jerry.
And hydrate.
Oh-ho!
No, that actually should happen.
What, actual hydrating?
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably pretty good.
That's what I spent the morning doing.
You went outside?
No, hydrating.
Okay, but are you planning on going outside?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Stadium Swim.
Okay, it's like 100 degrees.
Yeah, I'm built for this.
All right.
This is my time. I'm the captain now.
Well, we are going to bring you all kinds of football talk. The Bears play a simulacrum of a football game tonight. There will be people in Bears uniforms who have another few hours to be Chicago Bears before they get on with their lives. And we'll discuss, because there's some roster decisions to be made. Derek Stevens, Paul Charchin, Sean King, High Noon. We've got it all for you here.
I'm looking forward to tonight for sure. But Layla and I on the ride in, because we took the same flight, Dan and Ray took the same flight. We were talking football because, you know, we talk football. And you brought up a really interesting point about kind of where things stand with the Bears roster.
Yeah, to me, is your team as good as you think it is if you still need the waiver wire to add perhaps to your defensive line? Like, the team is not on the field. I'm glad that you're admitting it in a way. But is your team as good as you think it is, if that is the case, and the waiver wire is still something that you need to look at?
If you're adding a rotational, at the least, a rotational pass rusher, and probably
pivotal position.
And probably somebody by the end of the season who will have been a starter, because that happens with attrition.
Right. And
that person's not on your team yet.
And we know that perhaps the ideal three technique is not on this team, as we've discussed. That is a wait and see. But to me, that says a lot about where they are and what we think they are. And I want to have all the good vibes and the lovely feelings. And this is a game that's really about seeing who's going to make that roster tonight in the preseason finale. But at the end of the day, before the season opener, if that's still something that is not only discussed but strategically applied, then you have to at least ask the question. Like the Lions, for example, are saying, you know, Pro Football Talk had the story yesterday, like, people are not going to make the roster, and they're going to have to make some really tough decisions. And that's the difference now. You're talking about good to great. We get to have that discussion, which is great, but does it temper our expectation?
And let's go back to what the Bears have said about their roster. What they said was it's going to be really hard to make this team.
How much do you believe it?
Well, I think that they've made incredible progress. I really do. I think this roster is solid, but considering we can talk to Matt Eberflus about this tomorrow, but I feel like from a defensive standpoint, he still doesn't quite have what he needs. He's making the most out of it, and he's done a good job with it, and we know how strong the Bears' defensive backfield is. But how much stronger would it be if you gave them a representative front line? And to Ryan Poles' credit, he's been trying to do that. Like them trying to make the move for Judon, it says two things to me. One, their roster is incomplete. And two, they understand the value and if we use the Raheemy doctrine, look at the contracts, look at where you're at in your window. If you're trying to maximize Montez Sweat, give him a partner. Whether that partner is on the inside at the three technique or on the other end, give him a partner so you can do maximum damage.
The very first move, or one of the very first moves he made, was to sign Larry Ogunjobi, who was a Matt Eberflus prototype three technique.
Yep.
And ever since then, ever since that failed effort to bring in an established professional three technique, they've just kind of streamed the position along. And I know they got super defensive, no pun intended, when Justin Jones was questioned. I think it was actually Alan Williams before they had to fire him for being weird. That he said, oh, we have a three technique, and his name is Justin Jones. Okay, fine, great, awesome. But we know that there's a difference between the defense being fine. And like as you've said before many times, if this is an elite backfield, then make their job even easier. Make them even better. So maybe they just are way more confident in some of these guys than we know that they are, or that they're letting on that they are. But their moves tell us they're not.
Well, the other thing to me is we're not just talking about the expectation of a team. I've said it. I'll say it again. I think it's a 10-win team. I think they make the playoffs probably. I think the whole division has leveled up. I'll say it. Okay. If I'm wrong, I'm not going to be happy about it either, but we'll have a lot of other issues if that's the case. But people are talking about this being a top 5, top 10 defense.
Yeah,
those
I said
words
it.
Have been uttered by
I said
many
it. I
people.
Said it. I said they're a top 5 defense.
So if that's the case, you still think you're doing this at this point in the season? I'm not mad at them for doing it. Good that you're doing it. But does that reset what you're thinking?
Conditionally. I keep getting this impression, and maybe it's sinking in because we're in Vegas. And we feel it all the time, and we always talk about it. Hell, you hear it in the airport, you feel it everywhere, but the level of optimism for this Bears team. This city, places like this, are trying to separate Bears fans from their money.
For sure.
And are trying to game that level of excitement and that level of optimism. Because Chicago betters, as I understand it, I don't know as much as others do. Look, there's probably 20 people in this room, obviously, that know far more than I. But Chicago fans are suckers. And I wonder, with given the slightest real reason for optimism, if we shouldn't be conscious of that, especially being where we are and being as aware of
the house always winning.
Of the house always winning and the house understanding. The people that set the lines, the people that, that try to lure you in are taking advantage of one of the most easily, irrationally exuberant fan bases that we know of.
I won't call our listeners suckers. I'll say they are optimistic. And when you look at how people bet at the beginning of the baseball season on the Cubs every year, how much the handle is on Bears fans every year when the number comes out on win totals and how they go over because they're optimistic. You do have to control for some of that when you're discussing how this team is going to go about building itself. And, you know, some history is prologue. Some of it's not. The hope is that the Bears are changing everything, like the way that they go about stuff, and then that turns into success for them where they haven't had it before. But yes, it and this goes to what you were we were talking about with you, Dan, earlier this week. It's a weird place to be in where you go, wow, everyone seems to be very optimistic about what the Bears can do this year, and does that hit that reflex of that's very scary.
Well, it was scary for me because I went through what happened in that first game against the Packers when Khalil Mack has a career in the first half and everything is great in our world and it's seashells and balloons and we're doing cartwheels and handsprings and then nothing good happens.
To me, Chicago is a market mover, period. There's an emotional buy there that you're talking about. And the Bulls, we saw that too with the Bulls in 2021 when they were close to having better odds for first place in the Eastern Conference. Wow, what a stretch that sounds like when you say it a couple years later. But that to me is fine. Like, have your emotional buy. You know, if you know how the market moves here when it comes to wagering, then you'll be at an advantage as far as knowing how to hedge it. But people have been excited to talk about the Bears for a long time. And we're seeing that finally happen now. So to me, do you need more out-of-town stupid in a way by tempering the expectation? Or do you need a little more in-town optimism by trying to make something happen in a productive manner?
I think that you can always use a little bit of it. The problem is, and I mean, you know, we're aware of it. Like, I know that sometimes when this particular show tries to temper stuff that we get labeled
why
with.
Do you hate the Bears?
Right.
What's wrong with you? Why do you hate them?
Just have faith in everything.
Yeah, and that's part of the issue, you know, and I know that we're speaking from a very personal place when trying to discuss it as logically but with a little bit of fun.
Like, I want them to be as good as anybody does. I do. I really keep saying it. I really hope Caleb Williams is good, and I hope the Bears are good. I don't know if they are, and because it's the NFL.
I think it's important to give this PSA routinely. People in our position would prefer that the teams that we talk about be good.
Amen.
We prefer that, and the reason that we prefer that is that there's more of you when the teams are good. That harping on things that are bad, wanting things to be bad because it gets clicks, that only works so far. And the example that I would give you, and it's an extreme one, is the 2024 Chicago White Sox.
Yep.
No one wants to talk about the White Sox because we know that if we start talking about the White Sox instead of talking about the Bears, you're going to go away. And you might never come back.
And our numbers showed previously that when we talked about the White Sox when they were good, that people wanted to listen.
Yes. So we want the teams to be good, but we also want to try and give you from our experiences of covering teams on what are some things that don't feel right or smell right. And that's why, like, the counterbalance to us even talking about Hard Knocks, because that is them giving the best version of what's going on at Hallis
Hall. Let alone critiquing it as a television show. What do you mean? It's a bad show. It's the Bears.
Well, yeah, what do we know about doing that, right? Nothing.
Right. Yeah,
but we don't know anything about it. In case you're wondering why we're here, by the way, we're here for the return, if you're joining us, for the Circa Million 6 and Circa Survivor, which one, Danny Parkins, who finally announced that he is indeed going to Outdoor Life Network today.
It's Versus.
No, Spike TV. We're very happy for Danny going to Spike TV.
No, it's Outdoor Life Network, and he's got a trout fishing show, I believe.
He's going to be great at the National Network, but the point is,
Danny is going to be awesome on Impractical Jokers.
That's still a show.
He's going to be so awesome on that. True TV made a great hire when they hired Danny Parkins.
You know, when I'm watching March Madness, I want to know what's coming on after my 11-5 game. Okay, but he did also make it far in the Survivor pool, right? Like, didn't he nearly win?
He did really well.
Yeah, as a consortium. And we'll talk to Derek about this, but the way
at 11, Derek Stevens joins us.
The way people game that thing.
Because Danny's got guys. Like, and
he's also a guy you can call.
I agree, but he's even got guys.
Right. It's
when I'm looking for somebody on the DIY network, that's our man.
I'm really looking forward to his show on HGTV. The fact that he is moving so that he is going to be out here renovating homes.
Love it or list it.
I mean, I can't believe that they got him and Snoop to Danny and Snoop on HGTV every morning. Like, they're going out and they're renovating houses. So
we got this lot. Don't know if it's going to make sense for the buyer.
I don't think some of the piping is to code. We're going to have to redo it.
Zero lot line. Have the landscape.
Let's see if we can.
That's a load. You can't move the load bearing wall.
They want 2.5% now.
Contractors got over budget.
Seller's agent's a jerk.
Everybody wants to know via text, guys. You guys are burying the lead. How many sports animals are there?
Well, we've come across a sports amphibian. I'm pretty sure there was some sort of sports reptile over here.
It's too early. It's way too early.
I'm just happy that we got to see our friend Cody Decker.
Yeah, Cody Decker's just out here hanging out in the. Well, it's a hallway. It's not a street.
Well, we're in a ballroom.
It's Radio Row. This is the Radio Row setup.
It's Radio Row. And so, like, right across from us is ESPN Las Vegas.
There's a sports chameleon.
There's a Bronco Nation Let's Ride network over there.
Bronco Nation News. Like, they're leaning into the news
Bronco
portion
Nation
of that.
News.
Yeah, BNN. Haven't you heard?
Dick Parkins.
Okay, but what is that? What does that even mean?
Let's ride. That's what it means.
Bronco
well, not anymore.
News.
Do we ask him about Zach Wilson? How does this work?
Or do they actually report all of the news, but only as it relates to the Broncos?
I mean, it's just like when Hub had Pro Football Weekly.
There was a large explosion.
On the air.
Ray, you don't remember that? Yeah. Pro Football Weekly also used to be basketball news.
Say yes to the dress. It's our favorite texter. It's our favorite texter.
I just like the idea that Bronco Nation News would be something like Ukrainian forces were able to enter the occupied Kursk territories. No Denver Broncos were affected. In other news, new Chinese tariffs have been enacted. No Broncos were immediately affected. This has been Bronco News. Okay, whatever. People want to know, why aren't you at the pool?
It's only tomorrow. News about Bronco
tomorrow
Nagurski.
Tomorrow is the pool.
Right, Bronco Nagurski is still dead. And now the weather.
Wait.
What about the Barrington Broncos? Are they involved in this?
Could be. It's all Bronco news.
That seems like Broncos. A really big nation of Broncos.
I guess.
Wild, wild horses.
Who's the coach whose name was Bronco?
A coach?
Bronco Mendenhall.
Thank you.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
For who?
BYU, right?
Oh. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, he wasn't a coach, though. Bronco Nagurski, I don't think. Maybe he coached something. I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. It's a Vegas show, guys. What can you do?
All right, when we come back.
Vegas show.
Vegas show. Vegas show.
Yeah, Bronco Mendenhall.
Bronco Mendenhall.
Right. Let's discuss Matt Eberflus watching film and how it relates to choreography and teaching dance.
And if you've been watching Hard Knocks, I think it all goes together in a way that's going to make you at least appreciate the show a little bit more, too. On The Score from Vegas.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Okay, spin around here. I just want to show you a couple plays. You can just spin that chair around. Solar eclipses.
That was Matt Eberflus on Hard Knocks talking to Caleb Williams. And you can tell that he is a coach who is in his element when he is doing granular
teaching.
Coaching and teaching.
Yes.
You can tell that he gets excited. We're going to talk to him tomorrow. Is it 11:25, Ray? 12. Okay. 25. Thank you. 12:25. We are scheduled to talk to Bears head coach Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, get the times right, Schlereth.
And Ray and I were discussing it on the plane, and there's a lot of angles you can take. I think the best way to get him to really be himself is to just talk ball, because he has a way that he wants his guys to tackle people, and it comes down to where your
plant point and drive. Plant, point, and drive.
I also have that same mantra written
plant,
down.
Point, and drive.
He said the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, and where your toes are pointed all the time is going to define how quickly you get to where you're going.
I mean, I think that he's right. Like there, if you think about it in terms of running, for example, of, you know, you go where your head goes, like this is kind of similar to that, where make sure that you're pointed at your target. And you go and get your target. I kept reading, first of all, our guy Fishy Business, Kevin Fishbane, if you haven't read that piece on The Athletic, you should. It's really good. Like, you're going to go into Matt Eberflus's office and his mind. Like, how he goes about, like, teaching technique. And I think that it's really excellent stuff. As I was reading it, and I meant to say something to you yesterday when we were in the limo, that Circa provided for us, by the way. Shout out to Circa.
Yeah, we're not buying that for ourselves.
I meant to say, man, you know what? Layla's an actual dancer. And I kept thinking, like, the more I kept reading, I was like, man, this sounds like dance instructions. All the footwork stuff that Matt Eberflus is talking about, like the importance of how your foot is pointed, where your foot is pointed. So I was like, what does Layla think about this piece?
Well, football is choreography. A lot of choreography is making sure you're maintaining formation or you know where to go on your respective surface, right? So it doesn't surprise me when they do touchdown celebrations all the time because they've been working on choreography all day. That's what formations are. That's what their routes are, essentially. You know, offensively and defensively, you see the finer points. Eberflus is teaching something that I think also has a latent benefit here. Is he minimizing injury risk by doing these things? You know, that's another thing is when you're teaching your muscles how to move properly, like your foot should move forward, theoretically. Like that should be, you should be aligned in a way where your knees aren't collapsing inward to, you know, reduce the stress on your joints, that type of thing. I loved the attention to detail because we actually saw it happen last season. He said early in the season, we all saw the tackles were poor. He said point of attack tackling is something we need to get better at. They almost instantly did. It took, what, a week or two? And then what did we see in the last preseason game? I thought it was excellent wrap-up tackling at the point of contact.
Without practicing it.
Right. And hey, we joke about having tactics, but if we didn't see him apply right there, I don't know what that was.
Well, he teaches hamstring tackling. He's very specifically to grab around the hamstring, drive through, and turn. And it matters which direction you turn. That what I found interesting for the piece was Eberflus understanding leverage, where you're always aware of where the line of scrimmage is, and he wants his tackles, everybody to be angled in a certain way. And he explained it by talking about how once the ball carrier is stopped in that direction, it becomes easy. Like people aren't going to be falling for extra yards.
Right.
That the over time, the yards that add up by bad fundamental tackling and or his guys not swarming and finishing, that he just wants to make sure once it's what did Lovey say? Secure the tackle.
First man secure the tackle. Second man go for the strip.
Right. But and that I don't know that,
yeah,
I've heard
that's
it.
That's fundamentally sound.
I haven't heard that exactly from Eberflus. I don't know that he is as strip the ball. Well, his mantra isn't the same as Lovey in
no,
that regard.
No, it's not, because you know what he's asking DBs to do, and I like it. and the DBs seem to like it, is he's giving them teaching points to take bigger players down.
It also...
Where the Bears guys under Lovie, they were like, well, get there, hold that guy up, and here comes Charles Tillman, here comes Brian Urlacher, here comes Lance Briggs to try and take that ball out while they've got you held up.
And really, all of this, to me, is what makes the difference. We talk so much about timing and buying yourself time offensively. Having that more efficient movement will get you to the ball quicker. One of the finer points I thought in this article that was really good talked about how in the air movement will buy you a third of the play of the ball in the air. Like, so he's saying, for example, on a 10 yard attempt where you're throwing to somebody 10 yards in front of you, the defender should be able to cover 3.3 yards in that amount of time. And just having those simple equations gives you a basis for what you need to do. It also speaks to the play we talked about yesterday, where we all said, watching Hard Knocks, oh, by the way, this reminds me of when Eberflus said they should have gotten a fourth interception in the fourth quarter against Cleveland and Joe Flacco. That is also illustrated in Fishbane's article.
Here's the quote that kind of grabbed me when he said, we want to do a great job of grabbing the hamstrings or below and then pull them in, and then we run for three hard steps. It's a low tackle. It's a safe tackle. The DBs love it. They can tackle big guys that way. And he describes Kyler Gordon, and he says where his helmet position is, he says it's not in front of the runner. He's a little bit high here. He has to go lower. But we always tell him to roll back to the line of scrimmage. Mm. You grab around the hamstrings. Now you're going to roll back to the line of scrimmage. That puts the guy down right where he sits. And then he says, what's the objective of this tackle? To eliminate hidden yards. Because we know on first down, if he misses that tackle, it's not a minus six. So he really looks up. What he allowed us in on here was the importance of first down.
Of course.
And the importance of him saying that generally the number, and he uses analytics to say that negative plays on first down almost invariably ruin drives.
Yeah. To me, it's akin to what happens when you walk the first batter of an inning.
Now what is interesting about that is this is one of those things where I do wonder if him, it's not him giving away the store, but it is giving away a tendency. And the tendency makes sense from a statistical standpoint, but does that mean that an offensive team should expect that the Bears are going to be a blitzing team on first down?
He didn't say blitzing. He's just talking about being responsible.
I know, but I'm saying that when you're talking about being in, if first down becomes important to you because you're trying to cause three and outs, might that mean that you are going to speed up the offense of the team by trying to put them in a bad position? And, I mean, I would have to go back and look and see how many times they blitzed on first down and what the percentage was in the league, but it was the first thing I thought of when I read that quote. Like, hey, are you giving away a tendency here?
Well, that's why I always am troubled by the go get it, go get it, go get it, go get it, and the propensity for being exposed as an over-pursuit team and having stuff hit backside and having stuff beyond your linebackers, having them bite too easily and not trusting their eyes. There's so much discipline involved in the level of aggressiveness that he wants to play, even without blitzing, because we've seen it when a one-gap defense breaks down. And it propagates, and it starts to be like,
it's a house of cards.
I was helping. It can be a very fragile defense.
He was out of his gap because he was out of his gap.
Or my landmark wasn't deep enough.
Yeah, you see that all the time with this team whenever they get beat underneath. Like, that was always the antidote, right, was to just throw underneath, and then you're finding the soft spot almost immediately in the defense. I don't mind this because he's got the athletes to pull it off. I think inherently it would be against his sensibilities to blitz on every first down. Yeah. He's just saying, like, the importance of first down is what's leading to a more predictable outcome, and I think that's why, he was able to correctly or at least predict, oh, we should have gotten the interception here. But again, I love it, but the flip side of this is that, are you not zooming out enough? Like, go, you know, grow where you're planted. This is clearly what got you to this point in your career. But are we going to be sitting here a few games from now asking, is he too much in the weeds on the defensive finer points when you also have a similar person now teaching and Coach Washington on the defensive side? And the offense of this team is going to have to be managed even more with your precious rookie quarterback.
Well, I really like all of it because it allows us to see him in a much different light. Mm-hmm. We are seeing the thing that probably endears him to players is like his style of teaching. And this is what I mean by, like, you've made the point, Layla, about the glow up and the importance and how important it was for Matt Eberflus to start being better and more connected with the people that cover this team. This is such an intimate look at him and the way that he thinks. I don't know if anyone would have thought Matt Eberflus is very analytical. And in this piece, you get to see how analytical he is.
Here's Eberflus talking about Montez Sweat.
Oh, yeah.
As great as he is, this is Eberflus saying, he says, if you watch his right arm, he's chopping that down. The left hand comes down. Watch the chop, then rip. He says, what happens when he chops? What does he do to the tackle there? He gets him off balance. You can see him lunging forward. Now he's done. He said, now Sweat's straight line is to the quarterback. And he said, because he's fast, he can hawk them down pretty fast. But Eberflus says, I want him to chop down through the wrist, pointing to the football, as Sweat literally does a chopping motion. He says, see it? That makes a difference. I know he's trying to do it with his left hand, but he should always do it with the ball side hand.
Yep.
Now, that reminds me of Lovey.
Yeah. I mean, if those are the – that's why I think coaches sometimes do themselves a disservice by staying so vanilla. That's a very digestible explanation of what you want a player to do. Anyone who is a football fan that's like, man, I really want to know more about football, think about what you learned in those three sentences from Matt Eberflus. More coaches need to do stuff like this, and I'm happy whoever it is, whether it was his wife, whether it was consulting, whether it was Ted Cruz, whoever it is that has said, let's go and put you out here.
But that's why I wanted it on Hard Knocks. That's what I wanted on Hard Knocks. Was it the Falcons one when Brian Cox was helping with pass rushers and linebackers, and he was talking about, your shoulder is here. This is a time where you have to go with one arm because you need length. Now you're going to turn that length into power when this shoulder comes around. And it sounds so sensible, and you're watching NFL players digest it. I would love to. I'm glad Fishbane got this, but this is what Hard Knocks is for.
But you know what? He's built trust with us. Like, we in the third biggest media market in the country have built trust with this team more so than they have, unfortunately for them. But good for us, because that was a great article. We've wanted to talk about it for a long time, and it picks up on things that we've seen in pieces in other places. And good on Matt Eberflus, man. We love this stuff.
We are in the Galaxy Ballroom at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, getting everyone ready for Circa Million 6 and the $10 million guaranteed Circa Survivor. Derek Stevens is going to talk to us in just a little bit about all of that if you are interested. But tonight, there's going to be some roster decisions closer to being made. I think most of the roster is pretty set, but there are going to be some people you know who are going to be out of jobs with the Bears relatively soon. So let's talk about how those decisions might get made based in part on what we see tonight. This is the Bernstein and Holmes Show. Layla Rahimi is here as well on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
This is big. When Coach, my OC, he came and talked to me, and I looked at it as a great opportunity. Really familiar with it, and I know my yeah, my God-given talent and abilities, and this is something I can be really good at and be there for me when they need me. And every game is a big game. And so that just shows, like, they're trying to find any way just to get the ball in my hands and utilize my talent. So that's a great feeling. That's something that I take pride in and make sure I'm doing my all, giving my all for my teammates and being a better version of myself on the field.
That's Velus Jones. And the question remains, who's playing tonight and who's not playing? It's going to tell us a lot. I think the people who are held out would appear to be safe. And those who from whom they need to see more may not be.
I also think some starters should play, even though they're not going to. There are definitely a couple of guys who you need to see more of.
I was thinking about this.
Comes back, Nate Davis, those guys.
I was thinking about this when you said it and yesterday. And I was thinking, you know, with Brisker, do you want – I don't necessarily need him to play. But if I had, if I did want him to play, the reason I'd want him to play would be so that he gets reps with Byard. But if Byard's not going to play, then to me, it doesn't make sense for Brisker to play. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you worry at all about just game shape and game rep and game speed?
Yes. But I feel like he's – I feel Brisker is a bit of a comet.
True.
Like – we're going to be like, man, that guy was really great for 5 years, and then his body is just going to...
You made the Bob Sanders come.
Would yep. you call him a sports comet? And if so, are they broadcasting here?
The sports comet.
From Radio Row at Circa.
And Bronco Nation News. They have very bright lights over there.
They do, and that's yeah, good. That makes you look good.
Yeah, the lighting...
No, I'd look better in the dark.
The overhead lighting for us is not favorable in our picture.
It's not?
No.
Because the lights are up there, but that's all right.
Let's get – I do think there's a reason to watch this preseason game, especially if you're us. There are a couple of position group battles where you're asking yourself the question, who's going to make this team? And we had a pretty interesting conversation off air before the show about the really minute details here when you're talking about what's going to happen to Karan Amagaji, for example, not playing today, but how does that affect your roster? You know, was it an IR discussion for 4 weeks or 6 weeks? You know, could that affect a future spot? How many receivers are they carrying? To me, that might be the most contested. How many tight ends are they going to carry?
Well, they moved Velus Jones out of the wide receiver room and they put him in the running back room, but
there's a lot of people there.
You have a really strong running back room where obviously, DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert. Then Roschon Johnson, America's president, he's in there. And then you have Horner in there, who is a core special teams player. So here's what I'm wondering, and you guys can tell me if this is off the mark. Are we talking about now Velus Jones versus Kari Blossom game? Do the Bears keep an extra traditional tailback or non-traditional tailback, or do they keep a traditional fullback on their roster?
It makes it a little less personal and a lot more transactional based on the direction of the team as a whole, when you put it that way.
The Our Lads depth chart, which I tend to use just because I find it
very clean.
Yeah, it's easy to look at, and there's a lot of information there. They still have Velus Jones Jr. listed as the backup slot wide receiver. They do not have him among the running backs. And they've got, you know, Swift, Herbie the Love Bug, Roschon Johnson, Travis Homer, and Ian Wheeler, with Blassing in the lone fullback.
Well, and Wheeler is another thing, because you know what Wheeler has? Speed.
Mm-hmm.
Put your track shoes on, sir. And if you were to cut Velus Jones, I imagine that there would be some people who would be interested because he's a really good kick returner. But he also can't catch punts or passes.
Well, also, how much is ego going to come into play here? Because he was the first offensive pick of this front office. How much is that going to affect the decision? I really hope it doesn't. But if he stays on the team, you might have an inkling as to why.
When you bring up Amagaji, do you know who I forgot was on the team? You know who I completely forgot? Larry Borum.
Yeah.
He's been playing.
I know. But it's like, oh, yeah. He was starting.
Like, yeah, him and Carter, like, hey, the game that I said Carter could have qualified for the Mistrelli Award, even though he couldn't have, he really could have by his play.
Borum is a perfect, this guy's been in the league 8 years, candidate. Perfect.
It's not
that.
Eight.
I'm saying,
oh, you're saying that, okay, yes.
Like, wait, Larry Borum's still playing? He's the swing tackle in Washington now? Like,
that was Mike Gandy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Ever him?
I had a moment last night watching the White Sox where I was like, wait, how old is Logan Webb? What do you mean he's only 27 years old?
That is a fair point because he looks 35.
I feel like I've been watching Logan Webb for 15 years, and I think it's only been six.
Well, that's how I feel about Mike Trout is I feel like I've been watching him for 20 years because he's been in the league since he was a child.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think Larry Borum is like that. So I just wonder, like, tonight, are we watching Velas' last stand? And if it's him or Blossingame, which one do you want? And to me, it's easy.
Well, I don't.
What's your answer?
I want Blossingame.
Me too.
I don't know if I do or not. I don't know the playbook.
No, listen.
And I don't know if Waldron wants to. He's not going to use one just because he's got one.
No, I don't know. He seemed to use him pretty effectively in the second game of the preseason. They use this idea called downfield blocking. So then when somebody was running, then Blossingame was running ahead of him.
No, I
like a fullback trying to protect the person running behind him.
But if the choice is
they're running up and down the field.
Yes, but sometimes instead of him, you have a guy who's way faster who's running past people.
Or bigger.
Or I look at it at that point where you're talking about I think that the upside of Velas is overstated at this point because he is, 27 years old. I know exactly what Kari Blossingame is, and I know what he's going to give me.
Three yards.
With Velas,
you're a third of the way to first down, my friend.
It's like what Ryan Poles was saying about the guardrails and stuff. Sure, you might get burned, but by Velas has a kickoff return for a touchdown at some point with some other team. But I know every week how responsible a player that Blossingame is.
That's Lawrence Holmes and Layla Rahimi. I'm Dan Bernstein. We're broadcasting live from Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas today and tomorrow. We're part of Radio Row, over 30 of your favorite radio stations, podcasts, videocasts, talking about Circa Survivor, Circa Million, and the upcoming football season. Any entrant into the contest can take part in parties across the Circa properties, as we will, including Stadium Swim, Bar Canada, and more. Don't miss the Circa Preview Panel, August 24th, where some of the top experts in the football world will preview the upcoming season and give you some of their best bets. Check out CircaLasVegas.com for more info.
And apparently a player from one of Lawrence and mine's favorite football team on the panel.
Willis McGahee.
Yeah.
Ah.
The greatest college football team of all time.
One Miami. And some college football news there, Dan, for you.
NBC sacks Jack Collinsworth in favor of Dan Hicks on Notre Dame football.
Because
he wasn't very good. Yeah.
Because he's bad.
It's really good at that. Some irony in that, using that drop there. Wow.
Yeah, it is.
Cute. Well done. Derek Stevens is going to join us next to tell us all about the wonderful things about his casino and his contests.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners.
It's not fast food, but it's so good.